This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hi, this is Felix. Before we start the show this week, let me ask you to do me a solid. Show your support for Alt Latino and your local NPR station by going to donate.npr/altlatino. That's donate.npr/altlatino. You give directly to your local station, but you tell them that Alt Latino sent you. We all win, and these days, that's not a bad thing. Thank you so much. From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. It's that time of the year. Time to look back and consider the music that moved us this year. A year unlike any others, and one we hope never has to be repeated. It was a year of the weight of the pandemic and its associated losses and heartbreak, not to mention the emotional upheaval of spontaneous street demonstrations calling for social justice around the country. Latin musicians in our corner of the music world produced music that reflected the times and also helped us cope. A lot of the music released earlier this year was made well before the pandemic, but it seemed to answer a call for solace and contemplation, while some of it was produced in direct response to current events during this hectic year. There is lots to consider, and of course, I couldn't do it all by myself. I welcome back the Alt Latino contributor crew of musical experts. Marisa Arbona Ruiz.
Saludos, great to be here.
Catalina Maria Johnson.
And hello, hello from Chicago.
And Stephanie Fernandez.
So good to be here.
Thank you all for joining me on Zoom. Okay, let's get right into the music.
My first pick is the album Espiral by emerging Afro-Cuban jazz fusion duo out of Toronto called Ocan. And they are violinist Elizabeth Rodriguez and percussionist and music director Magdeli Savinia. They also sing and harmonize beautifully. This title track is their interpretation of an Eastern Cuban guajira infused with chants, and they've included Cuban legends Roberto Riveron on bass and Miguel de Armas on piano. It's just beautiful. Here is the title track, Espiral. Ocan means heart in the Yoruba language used in Santeria faith. They play from the heart, and they're on a mission to support their Cubano musician community. And this is their second album that they have spent 3 years on in the making, back-to-back with their first album called Sombras. And this showcases original compositions and a few covers with original arrangements of jazz fusion with danzón, merengue, and even Turkish folk, if you can imagine that. Coincidentally, they found out the chant was dedicated to San Lázaro and has a relation to Babalu Aye, who was exiled from his homeland and started over in a new land. So for them, it has an extra special meaning because they started over as immigrants.
It's an amazing track, and I think the interplay between a violinist and a percussionist, both women, really gives it a very special and fresh feel.
Thank you. That was the title track, Espiral, from the group Okan. And I got to say that I'm a very, very big fan of that band as well. Okay, Catalina, you're up next. What album did you choose?
Here's an album by an artist that I've loved for some time, Gabriel Garzón Montano, and it's the album Agüita. And this track is called Someone.
I love you like when we began. Friends, loves, and now you got yourself a man. I've been busy making other plans. You put it on me now and then. He's a sweetie, kinda understand. I cooked and lit the candles, man. I thought that we were doing it again. It's so peculiar, this game that we play. Hey, and I pray that we do. I want it all the way, yeah. Oh, I needed you.
Now, if you were to have heard his previous album, which is his first, you might not recognize some of what's happening on the second. He's got a very fascinating background. He is born in New York, but his father is Colombian, and he's got deep, deep Colombian roots, and a French mother who is a classical musician. And in this album, he specifically sets up three characters or three personas, one which is like a leading man, debonair, soulful kind of person. The other is an emotive, melancholic, experimentally impressionist, and the other is kind of Latin trap hit maker type. And so there's genres for everybody on this album, and he's combining R&B, funk, soul, hip hop, and each song is its own little kind of gem. I love the fact that he doesn't fear anything. He's fearless. And I think it's kind of an example of sometimes an artist that just refuses to be categorized and refuses to say, I am, you know, X kind of person, I am X kind of artist. So this is one of my favorite artists, and I think this album is a very special, uncategorizable album.
Someone do that, just forget the world, hey, and forget the world. I needed you. I don't know what to do. Oh, I needed you. I don't know what to do. You took your loving from me, and you gave it to someone new. Let's just forget the world, hey, and forget the world. I needed you. I don't know what to do.
That was the track Someone from the artist Gabriel Garzón Montano. That was Catalina's first pick for our favorite albums of 2020.
I was really mesmerized by him on his performance at LAMC's online concert this year. I felt that he was just so powerful, and it was stunning. So great pick, Catalina.
Okay, moving on. Let's see. Stephanie, you're up. What do you have?
Yes, my next pick was an amazing discovery for me this year. This is Salamanca by Sexores. They're a band that's based in Mexico City, though they're from Quito, Ecuador. And this is their fifth album, and they call it a pagan celebration. And it's dark wave, goth, ambient, and it features a lot of sounds that are pretty scary and hard to pin down. It's kind of like watching a horror movie in sound. And The themes of the album came out of this deep research project of examining throughout history and in cultures across the world the ways that women have been demonized and subjected to violence and the excuses for doing so. Of course, particularly in the themes of witchcraft and brujería around the world in different folklores and different cultures, but also kind of looking at the place that women occupy in mythologies and cultural memory and the occult and how women carry pain and carry memory. What it sounds like is it sounds like you're going through dungeons in a video game, and the next level you get deeper and deeper, and you can just go so intricately into the sounds that they create. It's really impressive. A song that really stood out to me, Nos lo dijo la serpiente, refers to biblical imagery of, you know, the snake in the Garden of Eden and Eve and the fruit and all of that. But the lyric that the song closes on is Todo lo que brillara, nos lo dijo la serpiente. Todo lo que brilla dentro de mí, se lo debo a la ofidia. What that line means in English roughly is, you know, everything that will shine, as the snake told us, everything that shines within me, I owe it to the serpent.
That was the band Sexores, and their album is called Salamanca, and that was Stephanie Fernandez's pick. You are listening to Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras, so we're going over some of our favorite albums of 2020. My pick is next. My top pick for the year was called Inside by the artist X Alfonso from Cuba. You know, I think that he's a visionary, and he's consistently put out music over the years. Inside is the name of his record, and what he did was release one track a month. But you have to take the album as a whole, because then you can connect the dots between the genres and styles and messages, and it flows like a musical storybook. And it gives an in-depth look at why I think he's a visionary. This track is called No Se Puede Pensar Como Prisionero. This is X Alfonso, in the album Inside.
El mundo está revuelto y quiere morder.
Levanto otra vez. ese puño arriba.
2000 people on the dance floor.
Puño arriba, no nací para ser cordero. Corazón de acero, va a empezar de nuevo.
2000 people on the dance floor.
No se puede pensar como un prisionero. Puño arriba, no nací para ser cordero. Corazón de acero, va a empezar de nuevo.
2000 people on the dance floor.
No se puede pensar como un prisionero. Pa' estos aguaceros. Puño arriba, no nací para ser cordero. Corazón de acero, va a empezar de nuevo. No se puede pensar como un prisionero. Pa' estos aguaceros, vista y fe primero.
That was my pick for one of my favorite albums of the year, X Alfonso with Inside. Next up is an album that everybody agreed on, all four of us agreed on, so let's take a little bit of time to talk about this. The album's called Miss Columbia. Let's start with Marisa. What did you like about this record?
What didn't I like? It's creative and beautifully performed. It's also deep and transformative. I was really fascinated by the way she inhabits an empowered mood with a layer of crescendoing oohs behind her more reflective ahs. She takes us on a journey of self-love that embraces her Afro-Indigenous Colombian identity and feminine power. And by the way, the album was just nominated for a Grammy for Best Latin Rock, Urban, or Alternative Album. That crazy category that mixes all those genres together.
Wow, this was my album of the year. I think we could devote an entire show to discussing just this album, but I'll keep it short. I really love that this album is just a subversion of so many types of beauty that we're taught to value in Latin America. I think it's so special how she took this very specific moment that she's pointed to as the inspiration for writing this record, which was the 2015 Miss Universe pageant, when Steve Harvey mistakenly announced that the winner of the pageant was Miss Colombia instead of Miss Philippines, and then the ensuing kind of outcry in the Colombian media that happened. And so much of that backlash was really racist and inflected with a lot of the issues surrounding national identity that Lido explores in this album. In particular, I really loved that she focuses on place. So much of the album takes place in San Basilio de Palenque, and her collaborations with the group Sexteto Tabala I thought were so special and deserve a lot of focus.
Wow, there is so much to say about this album. I totally agree with Stephanie. We could spend at least one show on it, and then another one just on Lido herself. I think she brings to her music the fact that she is also a visual artist. She draws and paints. And this album I loved because she somehow brought in that whole topic of identity, her own Afro-Colombian as well as Wayuu indigenous background into play. And the San Basilio de Palenque reference, which Stephanie also referred to, Palenques were communities that were created by escaped enslaved persons, and that music and that history and that legacy was kept alive. I just find that all so powerful. The imagery is powerful. Her ability to really kind of root and then at the same time be at the vanguard, like be super experimental and kind of out there, and a voice that can do that too, sing quite traditionally and then also just kind of float into the other in a very kind of experimental way. It's a very amazing album, and I think rightfully so made the top of everybody's list this year here, and this group and many others.
We're going to play the track Nada featuring Lee Salmet from the album Miss Columbia from Lido Pimienta.
soy sincero y no le tengo miedo a la muerte. Si es que me quiere, aquí la espero de frente y sonriente. El dolor lo llevo dentro, el dolor lo tengo presente. Soy mujer de sangre, luna de tierra, sal y luna, sin pena, sin duda. El dolor lo llevo dentro, el dolor lo llevo dentro, el dolor.
Todo lo que yo sentí, todo lo que yo viví, por todo lo que presentía, nada me queda nada. Por todo lo que yo viví, todo lo que yo aprendí, de todo lo que yo sufría, nada me queda nada.
That was Nada featuring Lee Salmet from the album Miss Colombia by Lido Pimienta. We're going to keep going talking about our favorite albums from 2020. Marisa, you're up next. What do you have?
Okay, so I think this year I had Cuban fever. First of all, I chose Ocan. My second pick was Orquesta Failde's album called Failde con Tumbao. It really grabbed me this year because they have this big band danzón style. And they also incorporate mambo, salsa, jazz, and timba. And I was just gripped by both their musicality and their vocals, which were off the charts. This album was very deservedly nominated for a Latin Grammy in the Best Tropical Traditional Album category. And they also have a little history, too. The band's leader and flute player is Etiel Failde. And his great-great-grandfather is Miguel Failde, who is associated with creating the danzón. So Etiel is very passionate about keeping this music alive and presenting it to younger generations, along with other forms of Afro-Cuban music like this mambo. From Orquesta Failde's album, Failde con Tumbao, here's the track, Tumbao.
Tumbador, tumba la caña abuela, tráeme azúcar el sabor, tumbao cruzando el mar, tumbao sobre la sal, tumbao negro con negro, tumbao pa' no llorar, tumbao que floreció, cuerda garganta tambor, donde el pobre abrió su tumbao, el tumbao me salvó. Pasó
That was Orquesta Fraile. And I got to say, you know, when I was in Havana last January, I took some time and sat down with Ethiel Fraile, and he is so dedicated to preserving and presenting this music, like you said, to the younger generations. And it's in very, very good hands. So thank you for bringing that track in, Marisa.
I got to say, as the Cuban on the panel, I love how much Cuban music made it to this year's list. I love Orquesta Fraile. And I got to shout out, I think my favorite lyric in this song is, con chaqueta o con disfraz, la costura bien cubana nadie la puede negar, which is basically, in with a jacket or in a disguise, you know, the needlework of, that is very Cuban, no one can negate it, which basically means, like, the cut of a real Cuban, no one can deny. And I love that spirit.
Okay. Moving on from our collective love for Cuban music, we're going to move to Catalina's next track, which takes us to the Dominican Republic. Catalina, what do you have?
This is Rita Indiana, who I've been a huge fan of for the longest time, and first as a novelist, as a writer. And then she moved in from writing and literature into music very briefly about 10 years ago. In 2010, she came up with El Juidero, and I'd never heard anything like El Juidero. Then she moved away. She said, I'm dropping music. And I mean, I wanted to cry. It was like, no, please don't. Moved away from music for a decade, returned to writing novels. And she finally came back to music with this album. And it's called Mandinga Times. Now, the song I chose also because it has a literary reference. So I've been a huge fan of Jorge Luis Borges from Argentina for some time. And this is a song based on a story called El Zair, which is about literally sort of what happens when you become addicted, metaphorically addicted and attached to coins, to money. And she takes it post-punk. She brings in Gaga, which is an Afro-Dominican rhythm, and it's very popular in Bate communities, which are rural communities of sugarcane workers in the Dominican Republic. And somehow she brings in a Norwegian musician. Trust me on this one, it's a fascinating track. The album is fascinating. This is the track El Zair, and the album is Mandinga Times by Rita Indiana.
Hola moneda, hay que hacerla, hay que hacerla. Una moneda en un bolsillo es bien poco, según un ciego puede volverte loco. Una moneda con dos caras y tu nombre, por varias vendieron al hijo del hombre. Hola moneda, hay que hacerla, hay que hacerla. Hola moneda, hay que hacerla, hay que hacerla. Una moneda para comprar el silencio, una moneda para la boca del muerto. De un lado esclavo y del otro un liberto, pa' que caronte te recojan el puerto. Hola moneda, hay que hacerla, hay que hacerla. Hola moneda, hay que hacerla, hay que hacerla. En esta casa hay morocota enterrada, allá en los patios por el lado del aljibe. El fantasma de un bucanero que ahí vive, en medio de un sueño me lo vino a enseñar. Busca la pala pa' que cuando la luna se ponga oscura como sangre cuaja, abramos el hoyo pa' sacar la botija, que estos mis muertos a mí me tienen guardada.
Llegó la mamberi gagacera. Le gusta a todo el mundo como de oro una moneda. Si no te enteras, estos cueros no te esperan. El terror cerró su escuela y soy la única heredera. Hola, moneda, hay que hacerla, hay que hacerla. Hola, moneda, hay que hacerla, hay que hacerla. Hola, moneda, hay que hacerla, hay que hacerla. Hola, moneda, hay que hacerla, hay que hacerla.
I think a lot of people listening to this podcast are already big fans of Rita Indiana, so it's good to see her this year on with a new record and then included on this list. So thank you for bringing that in, Catalina. Okay, Stephanie, you're up next with one of the most visible albums of the year, let's say.
Yes, it's a little album called Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana. Ever heard of it? By Bad Bunny.
That rings some bells.
Yes, this album, if we can remember back to February on Leap Day, when it came out, before the year devolved into the year we've had, the way this album shook the world is hard to overstate. It was the first of three surprise albums that Bad Bunny dropped this year, and it's my personal favorite, though there's something really special in all of them. He dropped his third on Thanksgiving night, El Último Tour del Mundo, and while there's something wonderful to love about each of his albums, this one really feels like it's been in the works for the length of his career. It's an album that was trying very specifically to recall the original sound of old-school Puerto Rican reggaeton before this genre was massively co-opted by the Latin pop industry, before you heard a reggaeton backbeat in every song. And he features, you know, a set of really excellent collaborations featuring Daddy Yankee, Joely Randy, Ñengo Flow, Yavia, and more. I really think it was such a special statement to recall a history that has actually been widely demonized by Latin music. You know, reggaeton was criminalized in Puerto Rico several times and elsewhere in Latin America, and so much of its history as a genre has been in response to widespread racism and classism. This album is a real celebration of Bad Bunny's childhood in Puerto Rico, of working class Puerto Rico, and the Marquesina parties that were the spiritual locus of this whole album.
We'd love to play the music for you, but for legal reasons, we can't. So we will just collectively express our appreciation for the phenomena and the musical genius, I think, of Bad Bunny from this record, his new record that was released, like you said, on Thanksgiving, and just stuff that he generally touches. I mean, I really have a lot of respect for this guy.
Sapphire is too powerful. It will break the podcast. We should also say that when this came out, this became the highest charting all Spanish language album ever in the history of the Billboard 200, a record that's now been broken by his new album, El Último Tour del Mundo, which is the first all Spanish language album to sit at number one on that chart.
With those kind of numbers, it reflects that it's just not the Spanish language market that's listening, which is vast. But in order to have that kind of success on the mainstream charts, you got to have people listening from other, that speak other languages and from other demographics. And it just speaks to the universality of him as an artist.
And the artistry.
All hats off for Bad Bunny. Okay, thanks for bringing that in, Stephanie. And next up, we're going to go to an album that we all agreed on. This is Un Canto por México, Volume 1 by Natalia Lafourcade. It is a tribute to her roots from Veracruz, Mexico. And she zeroed in specifically on the Son Jarocho style of music from that part of the world. Who wants to jump in and talk about this?
Son Jarocho. That's what I love so much about it. It's also a benefit album that raises funds for the CDSJ, the Son Jarocho Cultural Center in her home state of Veracruz, Mexico. And it features an all-star lineup of guest artists, including some of our out Latino faves, Jorge Drexler, Mon Laferte, and Café Tacuba. All the songs are exquisite.
All I have to say is that it takes a special kind of genius to be able to transform your own previous recordings and your own previous songs the way that Natalia Lafourcade did on this record. I think it's just stunning.
I don't know how she does it. She brings in, on some very subtle level, kind of a fresh, I would say indie kind of sensibility. You know, they're not covers at all. they're somehow managed to hold on to the integrity of the tunes and yet seem all of a sudden fresh again. There's not a song on this album that doesn't continue to amaze even after you put it on repeat.
Right? It's exquisite. Everything's exquisite. And she has that gift of being able to see into those songs and pull in the right musicians and pull in the right harmonies, the right vocals, the right instrumentation to do that, to make it fresh like that.
And we should also point out that Natalia Lafourcade comes from a very, very pop background, and her last two records before this were also explorations of folk music. So she's reinventing herself and her sound by digging deep into Mexican folk music. You can't go wrong with this record. Un Canto por México, Volume 1. Again, for legal reasons, we can't play any music on the show. So you can find it on streaming services, and we encourage you all to go look for the record. Natalia Lafourcade, Un Canto por México, Volume 1. Before we close out the show, let me go around the table, the virtual table here on Zoom, and ask each one of you, what were your impressions of the year in music from your particular perspective, based on what's going on with the virus, what's going on with social justice movements? What were your impressions in Latin music this year? Going around the table, let's start with you, Catalina, very quickly.
Wow, that's a big question. Well, I'm not sure if it was because music provided such solace this year with all the difficulty, and also it was responsive to the times, whether it was the coronavirus or the lockdowns or George Floyd's murder. In some way, music seemed incredible this year. I was like, my gosh, how can there be so much amazing music? So I'm not sure if it was my listener perspective that I needed amazing music, but I think it also was. I think artists always respond to the times. They're fluid in that way. They're picking up whatever's happening around them, and then they are crafting it into their own expression. So the music that was being released this year, a lot of it was extremely extraordinary to me. I couldn't stop marveling at the eclecticism of our world, everything that we can claim as nuestra música, and I'm going to claim it all. There's like some music that's maybe more my sister or my half-sister, and then there's music that's more my cousin, but there's music that's more like my great-great-great-grandfather. But hey, it's all a part of our musical DNA, and the way it all played out this year was quite extraordinary.
Marisa?
Ooh, well, first of all, this year was just jolting in so many ways, and there was so much angst that I was moved more by the heart-centered music that was flowing out of musicians and the social justice music. I always say this music is the song of the heart, and we've come to this point in humanity where we're at a crisis of the soul, and music is going to help us transform and is helping us transform that. And music is always there present in these times that are so transformational. And I will add that, you know, that is why musicians are always targeted by very negative political forces, historically so, because artists speak from the heart and artists move people from that point of the heart. So everything that resonated with me was something that was going to lift the spirit and also give the message in a way that wasn't so much angry, but that was heart-centered.
Stephanie, your thoughts?
Man, it's been a hard year. I think I have to confess that so much of this year I spent not thinking about music, but when I did listen to music, I wanted to come to music that would be healing or in some way tear at the pageantry of the music industry or at the veneer that everything's okay. So much of my favorite music this year had a hand in participating in the creation of a better world, and I hope we'll be able to see that intentionality a lot more going forward.
I can't add very much to what you have all expressed. Just from the personal perspective and all the things that happened in my life this year and in what's going on in the world, I did turn to music to sort of help me understand what was going on in the world and what the world's trying to tell us with all the all the things that came up this year, but also to remind us that the power of music and the power of these musicians that we cover, like one of you said, I'm just astounded at their ability to create even amidst all this stuff. Now, granted, some of this music was recorded before the lockdown, before the pandemic, but still, like some of the stuff that came out afterwards, the resilience and the powerful message of the music itself is something that astounds and help us cope and get through the unknown. I mean, there's so much to say. We could, you know, obviously dedicate a whole show to it, but it's nice to be able to look back at the year through some of our favorite records and what they meant to us. And so I really appreciate you all taking the time to really dig down deep and look at everything that came out this year and pull aside some of your favorites. Again, thank you, Marisa Arbona Ruiz, Catalina Maria Johnson, and Stephanie Fernandez. Thank you all for joining us here on Alt Latino for our look back at the end of the year.
Thank you for having us. Really always wonderful.
Thank you, Felix. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Felix. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to share the music.
And stay tuned for next week when we talk about our favorite songs.
Orale.
And we're going to close with another one of my favorites. This is a group called Ghetto Cumbe. They are from Colombia. It's from one of my favorite labels, ZZK, down in Argentina. It's a little-known group. It's a trio of Colombian musicians. But it caught my attention because it's percussion-heavy, duh. And it straddles folkloric and futuristic music. And it's innovative in their use of all the elements of their collective experience in Colombia. And we're going to end with the track Vamos a Darle Duro from Ghetto Cumbe. What a year. Fortunately, we have music to help us get through this. And as you know, I say this every year, but it bears repeating. This collection of albums and the selection of songs coming next week is the soundtrack that I and our Alt Latino contributors leaned on heavily this year. There are plenty of other recordings that caught our ear over the year, and I would encourage you to go back and check out our playlist and the podcast to see what some of that music was. This has been Alt Latino from NPR Music. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Felix Contreras. Please be careful out there, folks.
Claro todo, con mi chamaco, donde vivo yo. Yo quiero crecer, tengo ya familia. Yo quiero una vida, porque otra no hay, porque otra no hay. We'll be right back.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Sattva. Sattva luxury mattresses are every bit as elegant as the most expensive brands, but because they're sold online, they're about half the price. Visit SAATVA.com/NPR and save an additional $200.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We introduce you to fascinating people.
We did not have a trash can. No, ma'am. Didn't need one.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you're going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money Podcast from NPR.
On the TED Radio Hour, engineer Saad Bamla loves solving biological mysteries, like the strange way a bug in his backyard was peeing.
I was like, hey, there's something happening. There's a droplet at its butt and it's flicking it. I was like, all right. Challenge accepted, bug.
Animal enigmas. That's on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.